what the Bible says about finances. And we're not going to linger in this much longer. We got today, I don't think I'm going to finish all that I want to do today. One, maybe two more weeks, because I want to go back in the New Testament, look at some key passages. And then we're going to move on to a book of the Bible. I'm not exactly sure. I've been praying about Philippians. I don't think we've gone through Philippians since I've been here. I'm going to check it out and make sure that I'm not going back to something we've already done. But I want to do a New Testament book. I want to get into one of the epistles of Paul. And if it's not Philippians, it's going to be one of them. But don't forget, Wednesday night, we are still in Proverbs. We're getting closer, but we're still not finished. I appreciate Bill filling in on Wednesday night. I wasn't here Wednesday night. But anytime he does a study, it's always good. And I'm glad, I appreciate those that supported the study this past week. Sunday school, we're in the book of Acts. Sunday school attendance has been pitiful. Today was another example of pitiful attendance. It's almost like we're back to where it was when I first came here. Even though there's different people, it's like we still have this revolving door church. Not revolving that people are quitting, but I'm talking about the ones that are here now. We kind of do this circle thing, you know. We've got some. Well, is it your turn this week or mine? Well, I don't know. I think I was there last week. You go this week. So if we could all just get together. But if you're not involved in Sunday school, we encourage you to come. Acts is an awesome study, and we are in chapter 8. We finished chapter 8. We're going to go in chapter 9, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And so if you can make it out, it's giving one more hour to God a week. How many of you think 2 hours out of 168 is too many hours to give God? Is that too many? So, you know, that's not much of a commitment. It's almost embarrassing. But anyway, if you can make it, please do. Just get up an hour early, give it to God. God will bless you, and he'll bless my heart and others. Because, you know, pastor needs to be encouraged too. Did you know that? How did you know that pastors can get discouraged? How many of you know that?
Amen.
Yeah, I've been there a lot. So help me out. And I'm getting old. My days are winding down. He's clapping. He's glad. See that? God comes in late, and then he wants me to die. Man, bless you, my brother. All right, we're going to look at the proportion of giving. Giving, and we talked about a little bit, as God has prospered him. Giving, that's the key, as God has prospered us. Let's turn first to Genesis chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 20. Giving before Moses. Giving before Moses. Because we take kind of a different approach than a lot of pastors do. Most pastors, whether it's a dead church, Bible-believing church, charismatic church, Sleepy Hollow Church, doesn't matter. They all preach tithing. Isn't that true? Now, I want to preface it by saying Barbara and I have never given less than a tithe, and I don't believe really a Christian would want to do that, give less than a tithe, but there may be times when somebody might. I don't know. But all I know is the Bible says that we are to give not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but as we purpose in our hearts, because God loves a cheerful giver. So if I stand up and demand that a certain amount is required, then that, as we mentioned before, and I'll make it clear, that would cause us to feel compelled and forced and pressured rather than giving because we want to do it out of a heart of love for God. I've said it 10,000 times, well, maybe not 10, probably 1,000 times in all the years that I've been a pastor, that if God has our hearts, he will have our wallets. It's that simple. If God is controlling our hearts, he's going to control our finances. All right, so giving before Moses. Number one, giving before Moses, free will offerings. In Genesis chapter 14, in verse number 20, we have an example. And this is sometimes alluded to by those that say that tithing was pre-law. And so therefore we should do it. Genesis chapter 14, verse number 20, the Bible says, And blessed be the Most High God, who hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto him, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself, etc., etc. What I wanted you to see is he gave him tithes of all. So Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, a type of Christ, priesthood, a priest that we find, a king that we find no beginning, no end. It's I don't want to get into all that. But anyway, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. And he's referred to in Hebrews chapter 7, where Abraham gave a tithe. It was a voluntary tithe. I don't see any command about it. I don't see him doing it more than one time. But it's one example of a tithe, a voluntary tithe. Look at Genesis 28. And all this is going to tie together, and you see where I'm going with this. There's a method to the madness here, okay? In Genesis 28, verse number 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, Jacob also voluntarily said, I'm going to give a tithe. The first recorded offering in Genesis chapter 4, remember that Abel brought of the flock, and his brother Cain did his own thing, and he brought vegetables. This was also before the law, wasn't it? When Abel brought animals. So let me ask you this, do we bring animals? Do we? Why not? It's before the law. But it's before the law. So, in other words, if tithing's pre-law and that people are using that as a means to say tithing should be in the New Testament, well then, we should be bringing animals. I should hear the bleeding of sheep, right? Or what about, thank you, James, for the sound effects. All right, so, and then in Genesis 8, verses 20 and 21, Noah offered burnt offerings before the law. So shouldn't we? I mean, it's before the law. All right, so that's giving before Moses' free will. Now, what about required? Number two, giving before Moses' required giving. In Genesis chapter 41, if you want to turn there, we don't have the time to go through all the story, or I'm not going to take the time to go through the whole story of the background. But Pharaoh had a dream, basically. It talked about there were seven well-favored kine that came out of the river, and they were fat and juicy and good-looking. And then there were seven that were kind of sickly, lean flesh, stood by the other kine in the brink of the river. So he had this dream. It really bothered him. And so he tried to get his people to tell him what the dream meant. No, none of them could do it. And they heard about this guy named Joseph who was in prison and said, hey, we got this guy, and he's really good with dreams. And so Pharaoh called him out, and he gave the interpretation and basically said, hey, there's going to be seven really good years of plenty. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine, going to be terrible. I mean, just awful. And so he suggested to Pharaoh, he said, look, what we need to do is you need to consider putting some aside for the lean days so that when there's 7 years of famine, you got some food to eat. And Pharaoh said, and Joseph had mentioned it needs to be somebody's got some sense. And so Pharaoh said, well, it seems like you got some sense. How about if you do it? And he set him over the whole thing, over his whole life. See, the only thing difference between you and me, Joseph, is, you know, I'm the Pharaoh and I got the throne. Other than that, man, you got all kinds of power. But here's what I want us to see. Look at verse number 34. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up what part? What's the fifth part? What percentage? 20%, right? All right, and also in chapter 47 as well. So the inhabitants of Egypt were required to give 20%. And by the way, Joseph kind of oversaw that when the famine struck, Pharaoh got all the land. They bought it and then promised to take care of the people. And the people loved it, all except the Levites, I mean the priests. They didn't take the land of the priests, but everybody else's land, they gave it to Pharaoh, And then Farrell gave it back for them to plant and everything. And anyway, 20%. And so it was a form of taxation. It was a form of taxation so that there would be food when the famine came. And it worked really well. Of course, that's when Joseph's brothers and stuff came back toward the end of this period of time. The only time before Moses that we find an amount prescribed, and it was 20%. And it was a form of taxation. Now, what about giving from, this would be B, giving from Moses to Jesus? We have free will offerings. Proverbs has a lot to say about giving. Proverbs 3, I'm just going to read these. I wrote these out for sake of time. But Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So the principle, and that's what Proverbs is, a book of principles. Not a book of commands, but a book of principles that apply to everyday life. Book of wisdom, right? In this book of wisdom, Solomon writes, how can we honor the Lord with thy substance? Well, by giving off the top. So how do we give? We give prayerfully. God has our hearts. So we make it a matter of prayer because it is a part of worship. So we say, Lord, we're going to church Sunday. We're going to worship. And we want to give. And so, Lord, we want to give what you would have us to give. And we want to keep what you would have us to keep. Some say it's not really about how much we give, it's about how much we keep. And so, Lord, you direct my heart that I will give what you want me to give. And we do that first. Because, again, if we do the bill thing first, there's always more month, or oftentimes more month than there is money. Right? So we learn early on as Christians that we give and then we live off of whatever's left rather than the other way around, because we always end up thinking we need more than what we need when we take ourselves first. Do you agree with that? Don't we? We always find something else we want, right? Okay, so giving is first. The first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That's backward from the world. The world would say, if you give it away, you're gonna lack. But if we give with the right attitude, under the leadership of the Spirit of God, according to the principles of the Word of God, then we will always have sufficient. We may not always have as much as we want to do all that we want to do, but we're going to have sufficient that our needs will be met. Okay, so that's a biblical principle. Our barns are going to be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So what's the amount given here? What did Solomon say for an amount? What did he say? How much? He didn't, did he? He said whatever they wanted. The more they give, though, the better the harvest. It was the principle. That's the principle. What about Proverbs 11, 24, and 25? First part of verse 25. There is that scattereth. In other words, there's the person that's very generous. And basically in the church, just like in our country, you have two categories of people. You have the givers and the takers. It's in the church too. There's some people, you can tell. When we have a meal, I'm not talking about people that don't have. I don't ever want anybody not to come to a meal because they don't have to give or whatever. Ever. I don't want anybody ever left out. Banquets, don't have the money, we're going to find a way to get you there. There's no Christian that's going to be an outcast because of finances. You all agree with that, right? We don't operate that way. But you can tell a little bit about generosity of a person. Those that you know have a little bit. They're not wealthy, but have a little bit. At a dinner, who brings what? Really? I mean, because you have givers. You have takers. You can tell in service in the church who serves. You have givers. And you have takers. You have those that think the church just operates on its own. Nobody does anything. Nobody prepares anything. If you ever really sit down and think about what has to be done, it would amaze you to make a Sunday work. From the Sunday school to children's church, all the prep work beforehand, even the cleaning of the building, all these things have to happen. Ordering a Sunday school material, everything, all works together, right? And there's some that are givers and doers, and some that are takers. It's just the way it is. We see it in our society, don't we? Huh? Those that always have their hands out, Bernie Sanders groups and Elizabeth Warren, give me, I'll vote for me, I'll give. But we don't have it to give. Oh, yes, we do. We'll take it from the rich. Bless God. Yeah, right. Okay. Whenever they say that, grab hold of your wallet to come and to get it. All right, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than's proper, but tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That doesn't mean liberal in politics. Exodus 25, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. Of every man, this is during Moses' time, okay? Listen to this. That they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Same thing is repeated basically in 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted. If there is this preset amount that's demanded, how could it be there be first a willing mind? If I'm standing up here and saying, if you don't give your 10%, God's going to take it. He'll make your kids sick. You'll have a hospital bill. Or God's going to blow out one of your tires. You're going to have a $125 tire bill. I've heard preachers say that stupid stuff. Haven't you? God's going to get your tithe one way or the other. How many of you heard that? Come on, you have. I know you have. Because I have. I don't live in a vacuum. It happens all over. I don't serve that kind of God. Vindictive, going to get you. Remember that song? God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. Remember that? Come on. Somebody, you can run and hide, but he knows where you're at. God's going to get you for that. It's okay to have a good time in church. I'm having a good time because I haven't coughed yet too much. Exodus 35, and I'm, again, going to read these. Wrote them out for you. You don't even have to turn your Bible. Exodus 35, 5 and verse 21. Exodus 36, verses 5 through 7. Exodus 35, 5 and verse 21. Exodus 36, 5 through 7. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up. Notice how the heart's involved in these passages. Old Testament. Everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. It's the building of the tabernacle for all of his service. Everything involved in the ministry of the tabernacle. And for the holy garments and the wardrobe of the priests and high priests. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more. They obviously weren't Baptists. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. Have you ever been in a church where the pastor said, all right, that's enough, folks? Guys, you've given too much. You have to back off. What do you think? There'll be a lot of dead church members, heart attacks all over the place. Pastor just said, stop giving. But that's what happened here. Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. Don't make any more. Don't give any more. So the people were restrained from bringing. No, I can't. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. So we don't see any amount here, do we? We see a willing heart. The people here, of course, had been delivered from Egypt. They went through some tough times, but they were excited. Why? Because God was going to meet with them. I mean, when we come to church on Sunday, obviously we have a relationship outside of church. We worship outside of church. We meet with God outside of church. But we come together corporately as a church body. We come into the building, and we want to meet with God, don't we? Amen. I mean, if God's not here, we're wasting our time. We might as well go fishing. Right? Who wants to go to church where God isn't? Well, they were excited about that, and that's why I've been praying for revival, not just in your hearts, but in mine, that there'd be that fire burning. Amen. That desire for the things of God, the excitement over the work of God, and being involved in it, not just being a spectator. It's one thing to go watch the Redskins lose. It's another thing to be on the team and lose as a teammate. Right? Now, what about required giving? I'm glad you asked, because we're going to look at that. Leviticus 27. Don't have to turn there, because I wrote it out for you. Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 33. And all the tithe of the... Oh, tithe. Did you hear that? The word tithe. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord, and if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. So we're talking here about the Lord's tithe or the Levite's tithe. The Lord's tithe or the Levite's tithe. 10% of all that one possessed. Now you could give money in exchange for land or seed or fruit, but not for the animals. The animals had to be given. That's significant. His blood sacrifices had to be given. So the tenth of all then was given to the tribe of Levi, the priests. Israel was, of course, a theocracy. God ruled at this point, didn't it? There was no king. Moses was his under-shepherd, so to speak. God was the king. God ruled through leaders. They were priests. And so what this was giving to the government of the day. Because the Levites were actually the government under God. And so this money went to them. It went to fund the government. Do you ever think of it that way? It really did. Then there was also a festival tithe, this second 10%. So again, if we want to go back and do Old Testament giving, we're up to 20 now. It's two tithes. Taxation tithe, festival tithe. The second tithe was to fund the national holidays and the feasts. We fund the national holidays, don't we? All the government workers that get off, who pays their salary when they're off? Well, sure. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Well, here, somebody had to pay for these national holidays, right? And so they had another tithe. They provided for national unity and the religion. Deuteronomy 12, 6 and 7. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. I'm going to read that. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God. And I have to take a drink of water because I feel my throat dry and I'm going to start coughing. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of the herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. All right, so that's, and then Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29. So now we have 20%. Here we read about an additional 3 1/3%. So now it's 23 1/3%. And so I encourage you to give according to Old Testament principles, and we will expect an increase in the offerings up to 23 1/3% of your income. James likes it. He's going to be first.
Be a joyful giver.
There you go. At the end of 3 years, I'm reading Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year. So if it's every 3 years, you divide it up, 10% divided by 3 3 1/3, correct? Everybody got it? And shall lay it up within thy gates, and the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. So what we have here is an Old Testament form of welfare. Okay? Understand that when we pay our taxes, we don't pay them to the government, we pay them to God. Because God said we're to pay taxes, we're to give tribute to him, tribute is due custom, due custom. So we are to pay our taxes. If we rob our government of tax money that we rightfully owe them, then we are robbing God. Okay? We're not robbing the government because we don't like the way they spend money, and I'm not giving them any extras. As a matter of fact, I'm going to cheat and get as much as I can. We're not robbing the government. We're robbing God. And so remember that we give a lot of, we pay a lot of taxes to help the poor. A lot of folks don't realize that that's a part of our giving. Did you know that? So it went to the poor. It went for welfare back in that day. Malachi 3:10a, many pastors like to use the verse, talks about the storehouse and robbing God if we don't pay tithe. Tithes go into the storehouse. There it would have been the temple treasury. In other words, the mandate there in Malachi 3:10 was talking about paying their taxes. Check it out. Get it in context. Read it. Pay your tithes. Pay your taxes. They're required. Leviticus 19:9-10. Remember when they were instructed not to reap the corners of the field? And if they were reaping, they dropped a bunch of stuff to leave it. Why? They were to leave it for the poor, right? So that was another form. That was the food kitchens back in those days, or the pantries. They were to allow those, the poor and those traveling that needed something to eat. Nehemiah 10:32-33, there was a temple tax, 1/3 of a shekel, to buy showbread, grain, and sacrifices. Exodus 23:10-11. Talked about the Sabbath rest for the land every seventh year. So a whole year's wages or earnings were forfeited because God said, let the land rest every seventh year. That was one of the reasons why they ended up in captivity. They weren't doing it. And, of course, in America now, we have to, everything's got to be open 7 days a week because you got to make as much money as you can. And a lot of people don't realize that if it's a Christian, happens to be a Christian business, or even a Christian laborer that may have a choice of not doing a Sunday thing and does it anyway for money, I think you end up losing out in the long run. I really do. I remember the testimony of a Christian businessman. He wasn't saved. He had a store in Lynchburg. And he was open 7 days a week, and he sold booze and cigarettes, and he got saved. I mean, he got saved. He got in. And eventually became a deacon of the church, Thomas Road Baptist Church. And anyway, he had this store, and he said, well, I can't sell cigarettes and beer if I'm a Christian. So he stopped selling. Everybody said, you're going bankrupt. He said, I can't open up on Sunday. I'm a Christian. I'm going to be in church on Sunday. That store is not going to be open on Sunday. And so he closed it up on Sunday. No beer, no cigarettes, no Sunday. And I forget how much increase he saw, but it was mammoth. How God blessed him for that. We don't have enough faith today to do that kind of thing. You know, we're all about the bottom line. We don't think about faith anymore. And I'm saying that generally, obviously. There are exceptions, and hallelujah for the exceptions. I'm speaking in general terms. I understand that. So if you're one that is a man or woman of great faith, hallelujah. I'm not trying to minimize your faith. Deuteronomy 15 talks about debt being canceled. On that seventh year, all debt canceled. I'm eating for that. Sixth year, you go out and buy everything you can. Seventh year, it's all canceled out. Sorry about that. All right, now what about giving from Jesus to the present? Required giving. Remember, before Pentecost, the Old Testament giving continued, plus on top of 23 and a third, now you got tax you got to pay to Caesar. And did Jesus say they were supposed to pay the tax to Caesar? Yeah. So now they had a tax increase. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. And basically what I want us to see here is that we're instructed by the Lord to pay our taxes. We have to pay our taxes. Matthew 17, verse 24, when they were come to Capernaum, that they received tribute money, they that received tribute money, tax money, came to Peter and said, hey, doth not your master pay any taxes? Peter said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him or preceded him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, even though we're not citizens really of this land, we're really citizens of heaven, aren't we? You know, so we can't use that excuse. Well, you know, I'm not really full-fledged citizen of the United States because I'm a citizen of heaven. And that's true. We are if we're saved. But, you know, remember that Paul even appealed to Rome, his citizenship he had in Rome. So the Lord said, look, notwithstanding lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast and hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give it unto them for me and thee. There'll be a whole lot of people between now and April out fishing trying to get the tax money. Right? But there you go. So that's one example where the Lord said, hey, pay your taxes. How about Matthew 22? Matthew 22, verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God. Boy, you know they mean what they're saying here. And thou teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So they figured they got him. If he says, yeah, it's lawful, well, now he's a traitor to God. If he says, no, it's not, well, now he's a traitor to Caesar. So they got him. They got him. They know they got him. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. I love it. I absolutely love it. But the fact of the matter is, we are to pay our taxes. In Matthew 23, before Jesus gave the Pharisees a little piece, and scribes a little piece of his mind, in verse 23, in a part of that sermon, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So there's some that say, see that, Jesus didn't condemn tithing. He said they should do it. Yeah, but that's true. But still the Old Testament economy. Okay? Church hadn't started yet. There was no Pentecost yet. Not the age of grace yet. And even there, he said, you know, it's fine that you're going to do that. But again, he brought out the importance of hard attitude is the whole point. You guys are hypocrites. You're worrying about this and this and the visible things, but you're not concerned about the heart issues. Amen. The only other reference to tithing in the Gospels is in Luke chapter 18. This is in the Gospels, okay? Luke chapter 18, and I know you'll recognize this. Remember that wee little man? Luke 18, 12. The wee little man's in chapter 19. Here's the Pharisee and the publican. I was just going to read verse 12, but man, you know, you got to hear this again. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican, was a tax collector. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He actually was praying more to himself, I guess you'd say. That's what he was doing. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Could somebody really pray this way? I mean, really? You know, Lord, thank you that I'm me, you know, and I'm not like he. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this low-life little publican over here. Not Republican, I don't get confused. Publican. He said, I thank you that I am not as other men are in heart or in life. This man was so filled with himself, he was empty of God. He couldn't even see his own need, could he? He was so full of himself. He said, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Wow, that's something. So the only other reference to tithing in the Gospels is here used in connection with boasting and hypocrisy. Never in relation to the church. I mentioned Hebrews 7:4 when, along with an Old Testament passage where Abram volunteered a tithe to Melchizedek. Romans 13, we know this passage very well. We studied together when we went through the book of Romans recently. But it reminds us again that we are to pay our taxes, falling into the category Malachi 3, which means we rob God if we don't pay our taxes. Let every soul be subject or submissive unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, for the powers that be are ordained of God. That's why even those that hate Trump, we must submit, and I don't, but those that do should submit to his authority. Why? Because who is he? He's the president. And who allowed him to get there? God did. I'm not saying that he's a great man of God and God chose him because he's a born-again believer. No. God allowed Obama to be in there for 8 years, okay? And if God didn't want him in there, if there wasn't a reason why he was supposed to be in there, he wouldn't have got in there. Every power that be are ordained of God. And so we know how things are. We get what we deserve. And sometimes we get what we need even when we don't realize we need it. So those that are crying and moaning and trying everything they can to undermine, that is anti-God. It just is. Because God allowed President Trump to be the president. And I don't know about you, but I like having a little bit more money in my pocket. Whosoever therefore, oh, that's right, only the rich got the break. Well, anyway. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resists the ordinance of God. See? Is it any clearer? Could it be any clearer than that? I was not a happy man when Obama was in for 8 years, but you know what? He was the president. And yeah, I did a little complaining. But I didn't try to undermine every step. And I didn't see the Republican try to impeach him every step of the way. And he had impeachable offenses. Now, when the government hears this, because it's on the internet, if you next Sunday I'm not here, you know I'm in jail. So at least come bring me a cookie or two and donuts. Donuts. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of man, etc., etc. Look at verse 6. For this cause ye pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers. Not many of them believe that, do they? Attending continually upon this very thing, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we are to pay our taxes, and we rob God if we don't. And I can't finish. We're going to talk about free will giving. We're going to hopefully finish this up next time. We may not, but we're going to try. Today is the 9th. We're going to talk about investing with God and what the Lord said about that, and then what Paul said about giving, and then we're going to wrap it up, okay? So the fact of the matter is, as we look at what the Bible says about giving, it is a heart issue. And once we establish the pattern of praying and making it a part of our worship, not an add-on thing where if we happen to come to church that Sunday, we'll drop a 5 in the plate. Next Sunday, we're not here. We just forget about it. If Barbara and I miss a Sunday, our giving's there. We don't say, well, we weren't there, we're not giving. I tried that once with the bank. I went on vacation. I said, look, you're not getting your house payment this month because I'm not going to be in the house. Do you think the bank would have gone along with that idea? Hey, man, I'm parking the car for a month, not making a payment. What do you think? Now, I know it's different. This is God's church, and I certainly wouldn't follow you around to make sure you gave when you weren't here. But it makes sense if your heart is walking with God and church is part of that, then we're going to understand that even when we're not here, the bills go on. That stupid electric bill. Fred and I are beside ourselves, aren't we, Fred? I think we should turn the power off. Let's go back to, we'll put a potbelly stove in the middle of the church. What do you think? Huh? And we have two wood guys that, I mean, that half their lives is working with wood. And so we could have Gary, the split master, and his sidekick over here, Bill. They'd keep us in wood, wouldn't you, brother? Amen. See that? We get our, have a little generator for a few lights when we have service. What do you think? Wouldn't that be cool? There you go. See that? All right, let's stand together for a word of prayer. And let's ask God to bless the time of invitation. Lord, we're thankful for how you provide for us. And Lord, many, no doubt in this building, have learned the joy of giving and are consistent and faithful. We pray, Lord, that you would now control every part of this invitation. You've spoken to some hearts, and those that you have, give them the courage to come, if that's your desire for them to pray. And, Lord, there may be some that you've spoken to about becoming a part of your family through faith in Christ. They're not born again. They don't know for sure that if they die, they'd go to heaven. But, Lord, we know that Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Scripture says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So, Lord, we pray that if there's someone here lost, they'd come and say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. And, Lord, there may be some that you've spoken to about becoming a part of this local body. Lord, if that be the case, give them the courage to come even this morning during the invitation. So we pray that your will be done in each of our hearts and lives. And we're going to thank you in advance for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.